Chapter 1.
With a paintbrush dripping red, dawn splashed color across tall coastal pines, creating a picture postcard. For everyone in Milford Haven, it was the perfect way for December 22nd to begin. Everyone except Miranda Jones. She sat on her living room couch, blanket tucked around her legs, Kitty curled in her lap, sipping her first cup of tea, watching as the roseate light began to play through her clerestory windows. With the beauties and comforts of home surrounding her, she tried to figure out the source of her unease. First, there was a vague ambivalence about Zach Calvin that hovered at the edge of her mind, like a fog bank standing just offshore. They'd been seeing each other, sort of. They'd enjoyed special times. He had suggested she come to Santa Barbara during the holidays, which she'd declined because of her own family obligations. Her head told her all these reasons why they had yet to spend any real time together made sense. Yet her heart murmured something else, something about conflicting currents that she couldn't explain, but felt as an occasional undertow. Perhaps they really would have a relationship one day, and this was part of its slow development. She sighed. I'll think about him later, for now I have so much to do. And that irritated her, too. By today, she'd expected to have nothing left on her list but to wash out her brushes and make a trip to the Enchanted Forest to cut some pine boughs for her mantle. Now she'd given up on that excursion and was beginning to wonder if she'd make her self-imposed deadline. Her plan had been to make it a handmade Christmas this year, her first in her new hometown. She'd started by making her normally well-ordered painter's studio into a Santa's workshop. But still on her to-do list remained one more small painting, a box of silvered pine cones to which she must yet affix ribbons, and 3 tablecloth and napkin sets still to be stitched. She'd done so well at first. Her original greeting cards were finished in October, and she mailed them immediately after Thanksgiving. She'd painted herself a new set of Christmas mugs and had them fired at the local kiln. The pine cones were painted before Halloween, and the lengths of ribbon long since set aside to be drawn through the tiny metal eyes drilled and glued into the end of each cone. She'd even done a small painting for Zach, a gift she'd mailed, even though she was still so unsure of her feelings. And she'd completed miniatures for close friends. But somehow she'd been lulled into a false sense of security by her early endeavors, and in the usual Christmas rush, her professional art deadlines pressed her personal craft projects off the calendar. She'd managed to get some of them completed, wrapped, and shipped. But those that remained unfinished and unwrapped she'd have to mail today, meaning they'd be late, arriving after Christmas. So mad at myself. I'll just have to hope that late gifts will extend the holidays. Frustrating when I actually got started so early. That and the emotional uncertainty of... No, I'm not thinking of him anymore today. Easing her legs out from under the still-sleeping shadow, she drew a hand across the lush black fur and couldn't help but smile when her pet uttered an annoyed, meh, as if to insist she wouldn't be denied the last best hour of sleep. You put me in a better mood, Kitty, even when you're in a bad one yourself. Miranda walked the few steps to her kitchen, glad she wore warm socks, then took a swig of orange juice and a bite of cold bran muffin while she reheated water for a second cup of tea. After drizzling honey into her mug, she poured boiling water over a strainer of strong black Darjeeling. As gold rays spilled through her kitchen window and hit the small tree she decorated, Miranda sipped the hot tea and tried to summon again the Christmas spirit that had inspired her crafts projects. As light glinted off the shiny new seahorse ornament she'd found at Shell Shock, the beautiful shell store on Main Street owned by her friend Shelley Larrup, Miranda couldn't help but smile. Maybe that's where it all started. Memories of our childhood ornaments and shopping with Mother at Gump's. The famous San Francisco store presided over its regional retail hierarchy like the reigning queen, and never was she more elegant than at Christmas. With Miranda and her sister in tow as little girls in red dresses, their mother would swirl through the store, climbing the wide wooden staircases to floor after floor. As little legs grew tired, Mother marched onward, bribing them with the promise of hot cocoa at nearby Ghirardelli's after shopping. But fatigue vanished when her little princesses arrived at the stuffed animal department, where all three of them would clap their hands gleefully at Mr. Bear riding by on his choo-choo train. Mother had started the tradition of giving each daughter Gump's signature blown glass ornaments, one per year for each of them. Whimsical and colorful, they shone like spun sugar gems on the family tree each year. Miranda remembered some of her favorites. The Santa riding a seahorse that had inspired her recent purchase at the local shell store. But many others, including the mustachioed nutcracker, the white rabbit, and the startled gingerbread cookie. As adults, Miranda and her sister had taken up the tradition themselves, presenting their mother with a growing collection of eggs to rival those of Fabergé in style, if not in price. Their first was Gump's Egg Nativity, the Holy Family housed in a miniature oval diorama. In following years, they'd given the floral champagne, the garden-themed, and the elaborate turquoise. Meredith had picked out the ballerina one year, tiny pink tulle skirt floating over delicate toe-shoed feet. Now all the Gump's collections remained safely in their storage boxes until her parents decorated for the holidays. This year, perhaps they'd stay hidden away, as the family would all be traveling to New York. Taking another sip of tea, and feeling somewhat buoyed by the pleasurable memories of childhood shopping, Miranda recalled she'd been determined this year to find a better way to celebrate than the usual compulsive round of buying. That had sparked an argument with her parents when they'd first broached the subject of a trip to New York. "The Manhattan store is all decorated for the holidays, Miranda," Mother had trilled. "They're so gorgeous, and we haven't seen them in years."
"But it's my first Christmas in Milford Haven. Besides, I don't need anything," Miranda had complained.
"Nonsense. Every woman needs something at Christmas. And you've done your penance in that soup kitchen."
In previous years, while still living in San Francisco, Miranda had volunteered every year, though her mother had threatened to disown her for squandering her time and energy.
Oh, maybe my crafts project idea was pushing back against the store-bought traditions.
Whatever her reasons, this year she wanted to do something unique. It was not just her hands, but her talent she wanted to put in service. Having challenged herself to discover some way of serving others with her artistic abilities, she'd come up with the handmade Christmas notion. So this year, she didn't allow herself to purchase any completed gifts, but conceded only the buying of raw materials. Then, as her projects got underway, she found a childlike pleasure in creating surprise gifts for others. She reminded herself of this as she glanced at her watch and sighed.
"Not only do I have to finish my gifts, I also promise to take a shift at the gallery."
Fortified with the tea, she stepped into painting clogs and looked around the studio. Like patients in an overcrowded waiting room, her half-finished project seemed to stare at her accusingly. "Time for triage," she murmured to herself. The completed demi-sized pieces were now dry enough to wrap, so they could be discharged. But the pre-cut table linens needed stitches. She'd planned to create 3 tablecloths with matching placemats and napkins for her sister, her mother, and Zelda. She'd made a practice set for herself first. The seams hadn't been quite straight, but she'd been content to make mistakes on her own linens, hoping she'd have perfected her technique before sewing the gifts. She'd chosen the fabrics carefully to suit each woman's personality and decor.
Knowing she wouldn't be visiting her business representative in person, she managed to complete and mail Zelda's in advance. The fabrics for the remaining two sets were already cut. She had only to hem them. And these sets she could deliver in person when she joined her family. So, this being one of the easiest tasks, she decided she'd feel better if one project were completed immediately. Opening her sewing box, she found bright Christmas red for Meredith and special gold thread for her mother. Working on her sister's first, she placed the red spool on her sewing machine and began to wind the bobbin. But as the machine accelerated, it only spun the bobbin across the room, where the tiny plastic wheel disappeared under a shelf. Exasperated, Miranda got to her hands and knees to search for it and was reaching a long arm into unknown territories of dust and spiders when a pinprick stuck her finger. Jerking her hand back, she flattened herself to peer under the shelf and was greeted by gleaming gold eyes. Shadow, obviously in full delight, made a little chortling sound in her throat, eager to begin a grand game of fetch. Chuckling to herself in spite of her annoyance, Miranda edged a hand toward her cat and tweaked her whiskers. Shadow leapt backward, hit the leg of a dining chair, startled herself into a 180 mid-air spin, then dove after the plastic bobbin, shooting it across the room. Miranda rolled onto her back and laughed out loud before collecting herself to rise and retrieve the bobbin from her enthusiastic kitty. Realizing she'd have to negotiate for it, she looked for something to offer in trade. Nothing intrigued her cat more than the crinkling bright gleam of a tiny ball of foil. Tearing off a piece from the aluminum roll, Miranda scrunched it and watched as Shadow responded to the enticing sound. Tossing the new toy across the large room, Miranda watched as it skittered on the hardwood floor, Shadow in desperate pursuit. With her cat otherwise engaged, Miranda scooped up the hijacked bobbin and returned to her sewing tasks. Straight seams slipped handily along the guidelines of the old singer. By the time another hour had passed, all the stitching was completed, and Miranda tied the bow on the last of the linen gifts. A spectacular frosted gold ribbon circled the dull sheen of silver satin paper, and under it, Miranda slipped a hand-lettered note in a lovely cursive. For Mother, love, Miranda. After carrying the two wrapped packages downstairs to add to her luggage, she climbed back to the kitchen, made herself a third cup of tea, and looked around the room. Despite 2 hours of work, it seemed she hadn't made a dent. And then the phone rang. Hello? She answered, trying to keep irritation out of her voice.
Well, dear, they're perfect.
Zelda?
I don't know how you managed.
I'm so glad
It's quite uncanny. I've looked everywhere for this burgundy color. It's precisely what I wanted for the table. I already had the candles, you see, and the dining chair slipcovers I had made in London years ago.
Good. It did
I'm beginning to think there is a Santa after all. Oh, and the borders. They're the same pattern as the fleur-de-lis imprint on the napkin rings.
What?
You must have had them made to order. Clever girl.
Well, I did make them, but I didn't...
Oh, my sauce. Sorry to run, dear, but I'm cooking. Merry, merry. Ta-ta.
With a decisive click, Miranda's business manager hung up her end of the phone, leaving Miranda chuckling and pleased with herself. I did do something right after all. Not a moment too soon. Her studio, no, her whole house, was chaos. She still had to pack, and day after tomorrow she'd be flying off to meet her parents and sister at the family home before they all caught their flight the next day to JFK. First thing Christmas morning, and I'm not ready. Focus, she thought. She could tie the bows onto the cones later when she'd exhausted her mental capacities and was zoning out in front of the television, probably watching the 450th rerun of Frank Capra's It's a Wonderful Life. She had to run her errands later, a few gifts to deliver and stop at the post office. Tomorrow would be busy too, brunch for her friends, then a long shift at Finder's Gallery. Today, that left completing the last of her 5x8 paintings. Sighing, she realized that unless she did it now, she'd never do it at all. The finished ones rested on small easels she'd wrapped together with the paintings. Though she could have mass-produced several that were alike, Christmas trees or red doors with wreaths, she decided instead to create original pieces for each of the special people in her life. She loved the one she'd done for her friend Sally O'Malley. The home cooking in Sally's restaurant had long since made it the heart of Milford Haven, and the small town had come to depend upon her fresh ingredients and reliable recipes. The first painting for Sally was an interpretation of the restaurant in season. Christmas cake on its counter, windows bordered with holiday lights, on each table a tiny Christmas tree, and Santa sitting at the counter. It seemed to capture the mood of the cheery place perfectly, and she hoped Sally would enjoy it year after year. Coming up with something for Kevin had been easy. He was almost as enamored of wildlife as she herself, particularly of the small creatures who came to visit his house from the adjacent forest. So for him, she'd painted an opossum clinging to a tree, wearing a tiny Santa hat. For her dear friend Samantha, the image that had come to her was the pier jutting out from the Santa Carlita Cove. In the small image, the pier itself held Christmas delights, from a carousel to a tiny tram for tots, and the railings were outlined in multicolored lights. The finishing touch was a little girl being held by her father, leaning as far as she could over the edge of the pier to accept a gift from a sea otter. A sea star, the perfect tree topper. For all her close friends, she now felt satisfied she'd captured just the right images. Yet somehow the painting projects still seemed incomplete. She'd bought enough small canvases to create 8 images, and only 7 were filled. Who is this last one for? She racked her brain again, trying to summon a name, but no one came to mind. Yet she'd learned to trust her intuition when a painting was trying to come through. This must be for an unknown friend. Maybe someone I don't even know yet. Now she faced again the blank canvas. Small though it was, it still seemed to overwhelm her painterly abilities, and she stood frustrated in front of her easel. Stuck, 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 she complained. Maybe music would help. Walking to her player, already loaded with Christmas CDs, she pressed the random button and listened as strains of Celtic harp filled the room. Suddenly inspired to wrap gifts while she listened, she reached first for the present she'd painted for her Welsh friend. Helen, a fellow artist, lived in the other Milford Haven, the one in Wales. With the press of time, usually they exchanged nothing more than emails. But for Christmas, Miranda had painted her an elaborate Celtic cross. She'll be lucky to get this in time for New Year's, but I think she'll still enjoy it. As Miranda finished tying a bright green bow, the music shifted to a traditional carol played in an Appalachian style. Music for every gift, she thought, reaching for the one she created for her Aunt Madeline in Virginia, a painting of a dulcimer with red ribbons secured under the tuning pegs. She tied the package with the same colored ribbons she'd painted to echo the gift inside, and knew the detail wouldn't escape her aunt's notice. Reaching again for a present to wrap, Miranda picked up a piece she'd done for Kuyama, the Chumash elder who'd bought 2 of her pieces. In honor of winter solstice, Miranda had painted a ceremonial pipe. From it, where a feather would normally hang, she'd added instead a gold leaf of tobacco, a plume from its smoke circling upward through the image. As she finished the package with hemp paper and a raffia tie, she heard the strains of Native American flute, R. Carlos Nakai, she noted. But what struck her was, again, the music seemed to match the particular gift she was wrapping. Synchronicity, she thought. It seemed to be the theme today. What had Zelda said? That the burgundy table linens had been exactly what she was looking for? Certainly the thought encouraged Miranda, but it seemed odd in a way to have hit the nail so firmly on the head. She almost never chose anything Zelda liked. Their tastes were so different. Perhaps she was just being polite. If so, even that was a rarity.
Must be the Christmas spirit, Miranda thought. The haunting flute music drew her back toward her studio, and she reached for her palette and paintbrush. Now it wasn't words but images that filled her mind, as though a storm were gathering over her easel. Dark grays and pale tans flowed through the end of her brush and swirled onto the canvas. Unaware that her entire collection of Christmas music was playing through, Miranda continued to work. When the CD player clicked off, the small sound acted like the snapping fingers of a hypnotist, and she came out of her trance. Standing back, she surveyed the unexpected image on her canvas. Now, from behind menacing clouds, a shape emerged, a sheer rock face below a mountain silhouette. What is this? She asked herself. And where? Though she hiked the nearby mountains regularly, this didn't look familiar. Neither the image nor her drive to paint it seemed to make any sense. Yet it filled her with foreboding, and she shuddered in response. Where the piece was taking her, she still couldn't tell, but from long years of experience, she knew better than to doubt her intuitive process. Time seemed to tug at her sleeve, and she glanced at her watch. It was now nearly 12:30 p.m. She was meeting Samantha for lunch in an hour, and before business hours ended, she had to complete her errands. Still don't know why I painted this, or who it's for. Doesn't seem to have anything to do with Christmas. Well, I'll just leave it here to dry.